C7. Number 9A.
All right. Let's see how we could state the law ruling this chapter from the point of view of oneness. And perhaps we could word it like this. Through oneness with God, through oneness with God, man understands as God understands. So you can see the beginning of the law is actually taking up the whole law of the first, second, and third chapter, man's oneness with God. Now, what does it do in regard to science? That it gives us that understanding, which is the same understanding as God understands. So if one would take this, then naturally we would have to feel, I can now elaborate that again first. You would now make the elaboration by putting in what? Yes. So you see now that through oneness with God, you could abbreviate that now, man understands as mind understands. Then to see that man understands as spirit understands. And then to see that man understands as soul understands. Can you hear now the blending? We always have understanding, but then we could say, what kind of an understanding is when mind understands? And what the kind of an understanding is it when spirit understands? What kind of an understanding is it when soul understands? When principle understands? When life understands? When truth understands? When love understands? Are these seven equal kinds of understandings, or are they seven very differentiated ways of understanding? And actually one feels, without first having to define it, that must be something else. Must be something else when mind understands. That must be a different method, a different channel, a different medium. See, you can now see the new medium of the mediumship is now understanding. It's no more a spiritualistic medium through which now understanding flows. It's now no more the medium of human beliefs. It's the medium now. The true spiritual medium is now understanding. There is a medium. We understand through the medium. Now, we commune with God through the medium. But this medium is not a person, and it's not a belief. It is not mysticism. It is not the no-thinking of mysticism. It is the understanding. That's the medium. Now, we should be able to define the seven kind of understanding, the seven forms of understanding that is being brought out. So let's try if we can somehow sense it. And if we try it, we try it, and don't think that now we have laid down the law for the next 100 years. We try it, and it is a workshop paper that you have in front of you, and we always can polish it up and so on, but I think in a certain way we may get now the tonality of it. How is it when mind understands? What is mind's understanding? And when we know about mind and go through the list of the ideas of mind and ask ourselves which idea that I have here on the list of mind which has anything to do with the way of understanding, I think I come to knowing. So mind knows. The way that mind understands is now through knowing and knowing ideas. That's the way. Through knowing ideas, mind understands. So you can elaborate that as we come. See, now we leave again the level of divine science and translate it to the level of absolute Christian science and ask, what are the specific ideas through which mind understands? And we would say it understands through knowing its own ideas. Knowing ideas. All right. We come to spirit. How does spirit understand? So understanding is always the overall tone, you see, and mind and spirit and so on are subtone. How does spirit understand? What is the means of way that spirit understands? It seems that spirit understands really through spiritual communion, through understanding to be in equal term, in understandable terms with its own nature. That's spiritual communion. Through the spiritual language. Huh? The language is that which communicates. The language of spirit. That's how spirit understands through its own nature. Through spiritual communion. How does soul understand? If you go through the list of ideas of soul in regard to understanding, you come to either spiritual understanding or you come to spiritual sense. See? And so you begin to see, oh, the way to understand, to be at one with God, is actually only through spiritual sense and spiritual understanding. We will never understand through sense testimony. Only through spiritual sense. Now, we come to principle. And again, think by yourself first before I speak. Again, what is the kind of reasoning that sets in? You say, principle also has a way of understanding things, because principle too somehow must know its own realm. But what is the specific way of how principle understands itself? And principle perhaps would say, what? It would understand through interpretation. That may be the accent, the hue of understanding that is typical for principle, because principle interprets, and by interpreting something, you begin to understand something. Isn't it so? But the purpose of interpretation is that we get an insight into something, that we begin to understand that something. So you can see a way of understanding that principle uses is interpreting itself through its system. So it uses the system, interpreting something through the system. When we come to life, that's always quite interesting in the textbook when it comes to life and tries to show how we understand through life. And it's not always easy to find the right terms. How does life understand? To know God is life eternal, you know, she says. But what does that mean? How does life understand? And life, so to say, says, I understand only then really, when I exalt myself above everything. Then I can only understand something. It only can understand through an exalted sense, rising above the time sense, the space sense, into the isness sense. Only then can it really understand. See, life Last week, when we went through the synonymous term, we took up that great point that we could see life per se is just isness. It's just isness. And we get the proper sense of life then when we really can take away everything that has a connotation with time and space. If we can take that away of time and space, we have isness. And that's the way life understands. We will always find a higher and exalted sense of anything the moment we take away from a problem the sense of space and the sense of time. You try it out for yourself. It's terrific. You know, a problem looks completely different if you say, I take away from the problem the sense that it happens in space and in time. And it's like a Cheshire cat, it disappears. It just disappears. Not even the grin is left. You see, that's the way that life understands, by exalting itself above a time and space concept. And try it out with your problem. Whatever seems to bother you, just try it out tonight or whenever you like. Take it away from a space, from a place. Take it away from a time. Take it away from time, that problem doesn't happen now. That's a time sense. That it hasn't happened yesterday or in the past. Take it away from the past. Take it away from the future, that it has anything to do with the future, an impact on the future. And you really feel exalted. You really feel the problem disappears. Yeah? So, that's another term, another way of understanding. The exalted sense of understanding, the spaceless, timeless sense. What is the understanding of truth? When truth understands, and you go quickly through the list of truths and you see, well, there is practically only one thing there in that whole list that has anything to do with understanding, and that is divine consciousness. That truth understands through divine consciousness. Therefore, that we don't understand things through human consciousness, nor through the subconscious, nor through the archetypal consciousness, nor through the collective subconsciousness, through nothing like that, but through just one consciousness, namely the supra-consciousness or the divine consciousness. That's the way truth understands. Or you come to love. How does love understand? What is love's way of understanding? Love's way of understanding is quite an interesting way of understanding. Does love understand through the parts, or does it understand through an integrated whole? Does love understand by putting the part into the whole, instead of investigating the part? That's it. Love understands by seeing everything in the context of the whole. And the problem becomes much easier. You know, very roughly and very crudely said, you just can say to every problem, do you think that in 1,000 years people will be worried about it? If you put it back into the whole, into eternity, then you suddenly feel that this problem isn't really a problem. Putting it back into the big context, it also may suddenly gather its right place value. And suddenly, that which seems to be an error suddenly appears now to be the greatest blessing. So love understands by seeing the whole and not the part. Love understands by not treating the part, but by seeing the whole within which the problem seems to be a part. That's the way love understands. Do you see how terrific this textbook is? Now, if you go through the text, you will find these ways of understanding. I haven't made them up all. I just put them into words and renderings that are perhaps now a bit easier and nearer to your heart. But this is what Mrs. Eddy puts into the textbook. I don't see why this textbook shouldn't be the most beautiful pearl we have. Because so delicate, it's so finely structured. It's such a filigree work of dainty differentiation that one is always impressed more and more. Now take the seven we had in prayer, and the seven in Atonement and Eucharist, and the seven in marriage, and the seven here in spiritualism, and they are all different. They're all different. And yet they are all telling the story of mind, one spirit, one soul, one principle, one life, one truth, one love. Yes? And consequently, if you would like to go a step further, you see, and to translate it from the level of absolute Christian Science, even right down to the level of Christian Science, we could say, what does this chapter say, what is uncovered as a false way of knowing? And that is also in the chapter. In the chapter is also shown what is therefore the wrong way of knowing. Let's just run through it, because we have another few minutes time, and let's just run through it. What is a wrong way of understanding God? What are the unscientific method of understanding God? Let's take mind. Well, the mind, what would we find here? We would find that it is actually dualistic thinking, or say, believing human opinions. That would be the way of trying to understand and approach God. What would we get in spirit as a way of wrong understanding? Perhaps by relying on material evidence and say that what is materially evident, that is true. Just as natural science says so. They don't accept anything as being understandable except you can show it forth in material evidence. What is the wrong way of soul? Try to understand anything through sense testimony. That's the way we are used in natural science. If the senses don't prove it, if it's not proved to the five physical senses, natural science says it's not true. It's not true. This is not the way of understanding. What you have as a counterfeit of, in principle, of understanding, well, instead of principle's own interpretation, it's theories. Theories. It's the way, it's the wrong way. The moment we rely on theories, on dogmas, of isms, of doctrines, these are the counterfeit way of understanding a subject. What do we have in life as a false sense of life, as a false method? Mrs. Eddy uses here mostly quackery. Quackery. That's a wrong sense of understanding. In truth, it's again obvious, how do we arrive at truth? How do we understand anything? Well, if we can't do it through our consciousness, then let's try to do it through the subconscious, the collective unconscious, and we go to the psychiatrist and he will find out all about it. So the whole psychology relies on trying to understand the situation through the subconscious and through archetypal beliefs, whereas we should try to understand everything through a divine consciousness. But in the human, the wrong way of understanding a situation is therefore that erroneous consciousness and subconsciousness. And in love, well, what shall we have in love? Wrong sense of understanding through love, huh? What shall we say? What is... We had in the positive, huh, we had a terrific integration into the whole, and the counterfeit is, and you just ask the specialists, huh, how they can understand something. They specialize and specialize and specialize, and then there is nothing anymore to be known about, anything. So when they finally find out why a centipede is has broken, makes tack, 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 ooh, tack, 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 ooh, tack, 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 ooh, tack, tack, tack. And they write a thesis about it, and then they know a lot about the centipede. Well, but he doesn't know very much about the whole of being. So it's that specialization and specialization until you lose the context of everything. Yeah. Well, we make fun about that, but... what is the definition of a specialized? He who knows a lot about nothing or something about that, huh? Yeah. All right. Well, in this way you can see how we can really broaden out the subject right from the law of oneness, then elaborate it through the synonymous term, that's still oneness. But then when we put in specific ideas of those synonymous terms, we are at the point of absolute Christian Science. And when we go still further and say what wrong sense is uncovered by it, we even take in the level of Christian Science. And all that is actually in the textbook. So up to now, I haven't made up anything. These subjects are there. Yes. All right. That's about the chapter on spiritualism. So, when we see that the chapter on spiritualism tries to show that there are not two kinds of understanding, one kind how men can understand reality, and another kind how God is conscious of reality, when we see that there is only one way of understanding, then we really can see through the whole question of existence. That's why Mrs. Eddy starts out on that first important paragraph in the chapter on spiritualism, where she says, mortal existence is an enigma. Now, every enigma can be solved. We don't have to leave an enigma as an enigma. But how? She goes on and says, every day is a mystery. Do we want every day to be a mystery? Or is there a way to see through our mortal existence? So she goes on and says, the testimony of the corporeal senses cannot inform us what is real and what is delusive. So here she shows why we think that our existence is an enigma, because we rely on a false sense of understanding, on the testimony of the physical senses. That is our source of information. And so she gives the answer to it and says, but how can we correct that? And she goes on and says, but the revelations of Christian Science unlock the treasures of truth. So here she gives the means, the method to really see through everything, namely through revelations. So she puts a great stress on revelation in that chapter and shows that it is truth that really gives us the means and the method of seeing through reality. Whatever is false or sinful can never enter the atmosphere of spirit. So she goes over from the revelation of truth to spirit and says there is but one spirit. Now we know that spirit is qualified through understanding, that understanding is a quality of spirit. So there is but one spirit, therefore but one understanding. Man is never God, but spiritual man made in God's likeness reflects God. Now how? In this scientific reflection, I think this is the only time she uses the term scientific reflection, or else she uses only reflection. In this scientific reflection, the ego and the Father are inseparable. Meaning the ego and the Father, the conscious I, how the conscious I is aware of reality, is one with the Father, is one with the way the Father knows reality. And in this way, as an introductory paragraph, she pinpoints really the method of this chapter and says, don't rely on those spirits that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God? Should not we have that understanding that God has? And so one of the biggest thing I think we can see now in the teaching of Christian Science, that the whole textbook structures our understanding into a spiritual way, into the language of spirit, structures consciousness so that within our consciousness is reflected, that's a scientific reflection, is reflected the signs of reality, so that the structure of reality and the structure of consciousness is one. Only in that way can like understand like, and only in that way really reality can become transparent to our consciousness. Therefore, that great demand, or that great point which I see is one of my main object of teaching, namely to teach the student to restructure their consciousness, not just to learn new facts, to learn some spiritual facts, some divine facts, but really to restructure their consciousness so that their consciousness is a grid, is a grid through which really reality can be ordered and categorized. And we know that that the subject, when it is ordered and categorized, that we can understand it. Yes, well, that is, so to say, for me, the pith of the chapter on spiritualism when we consider it from the point of view of oneness.